Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Again, for those of you who are tuning in, for the second time. We have a guest today from astrolada.com, Lada Doncheva. But before I go to her, I just wanted to quickly cover the news today. Firstly, there's been comments coming out about the central banks and our fiscal price crisis and things like that. And what has been happening is it's shown an orthodoxy in central banking as they all seem to kind of be sliding together in much less the same sort of policy way. Let me explain what I mean. That's what an independent analyst, Bernard Hickey from of interest. .co.nz says. But let's have a look at what the Greens say about this. Okay, dig this. Prime Minister John Key says the Greens call for the Federal Reserve Bank. Freudian slip there. New Zealand doesn't have the Federal Reserve Bank. We've just got the Reserve Bank, which has the exact same model as the Federal Reserve Bank, to print more money in a bid to devalue the New Zealand dollar is, quote-unquote, pretty wacky and could create a financial crisis.
Really? Isn't that what everybody else is doing? And isn't a financial crisis exactly what's been happening to everybody in the same time frame?
Freaking idiots. Okay. Greens co-leader Russell Norman has suggested the Reserve Bank create currency to take pressure off the New Zealand dollar. It's going to be so nice. Let's devalue the currency and make it everything more expensive for New Zealanders in order to help the economy. They're retarded. It's just that simple. If you have any inkling of banking whatsoever and you think printing money is a good idea, you are insane. Okay? Either that, or you're just too dumb to understand banking policy. In other news, speaking of New Zealand being sold out to foreigners, we're now having a new bunch of New Zealand advertisements. You know, you might have seen those advertisements in the other countries. Come to New Zealand, it's 100% pure. We've only got mercury and fluoride in the water and all of that kind of stuff. It's real beautiful. It's pristine. Well, guess who's getting the gig to make the newest round of the 100% pure ads? You guessed it, the Australians. So you got to love the foreign ownership model. It's so good. You know, you just open up everybody for privatisation. That way the people who actually represent your country don't actually know anything about it because they don't freaking live here. They start taking all the money in order to get other people to come here. Isn't that great? Doesn't make any sense? Huh? And speaking of not making any sense, it's come out just recently that New Zealand is a bit of a tax haven here, and apparently we've got plenty of criminals and what have you, because we've got basically that we have a very corrupt country here, okay? No doubt. We're practically the Cayman Islands of the South Pacific. But the Revenue Minister, Peter Dunn, is dismissing suggestions that New Zealand is a tax haven after criticism over his quote-unquote legitimate tax avoidance comments. In an interview aired by 60 Minutes yesterday about foreign trust, Mr. Dunn said the term tax haven was an exaggeration because it implied illegal tax evasion rather than legitimate tax avoidance. Now, what's the difference between tax avoidance and tax evasion? If you avoid somebody, aren't you evading them? They're playing word games, okay? They use the exact same word to describe what they already said and then say that it's different, and the stupid, dumbass media just go, oh, yeah, we'll trust him because he's got a cockatoo haircut. This is stupid, man. There's nothing sinister about minimising one's tax has always been within the law. That's the difference between avoidance and evasion, he said. Well, here's the thing. How can the average person who gets forced to pay income taxes avoid paying them taxes? Well, see, the answer is, well, you've got to stop the illegal private banking cartel from having control over your currency and demanding that we pay money into its coffers in order to pay off the interest on the debt and not the debt itself. That's how you reduce and avoid and evade tax if you're a normal person. The problem is normal people don't have the ability to dictate banking policy the way these major international corporate banks do. Now, also, lastly here, a bit of international news. You may have heard that Hugo Chavez has won another election, and it's quite interesting to me how the media has spun this. Now, see, on the one hand, he's part of the quote-unquote axis of evil. On the other hand, he's kicked out all these evil, privatizing, World Bank-affiliated scumbag New World Order-slash-companies from the country, implemented social programs which has lifted some of the poorest of the poor out of poverty, and also, incidentally, when the CIA attempted a coup on him not too long ago, his people were so well informed about the rights that he said that he would give them and did, and the constitution that he said he would give them and did, that within a day or something, there were literally millions of people on the streets of the capital. They kicked out the coup leaders, kicked out those CIA scumbags, and got Chavez brought back in, such as the resolve, such as this guy. So, of course, the media spins it like he's a brutal dictator and he's an evil scumbag and blah, 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 blah. Because, of course, that's how they want you to think about leaders who don't bow to the international New World Order banking cartels and their affiliated scum. Okay, you need to perceive them as terrorists, as dictators, lies, denigration, whatever. Hype up the talk of corruption, hype up the talk of anything bad, and of course you ignore and do not mention, as I have just mentioned here, about how he truly got there and how he's actually stayed there, and the popularity among the people is basically all they go. So he's going to implement his socialist regimes now. That's the angle the media spins on it. So. That's the news just for the day. Just a quick wrap up, ladies and gentlemen, the things that were brought to my attention, at least through the mainstream media, that I wanted to comment on. Now we will go to our very special guest, who's been waiting ever so patiently, and I apologise for that, Lada Dunshiva from astrolada.com. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Vince. Can you hear me well?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, perfect. Now,
so let's go into your background here. So I've had a look at a couple of your predictions for Capricorns going through October and also 2012. And I've had a look at your website and a few things on there about you. And I was quite surprised to find the astrological field to have much more aspect and depth to it than I'd originally fathomed. You know, my perception of people who study astrology was sort of leaning towards the I'm just going to think about ethereal nonsense and blah, 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 and make extremely vague predictions so that nearly everybody can fall into that, and then I'll charge you $9 an hour for a call. However, despite the fact that those people do exist, and I'm sure you'd agree with that, that there are people who use it in a rather myopic fashion for their own means and don't really care about the people they're doing these predictions for. But the other side of it is there are many, many techniques and schools of astrology, and you've been abreast and studied many of them. So when you're giving an astrological prediction, you're actually being, in a sense, multidisciplinary about it, using disciplines that have been forgotten about for the best part of thousands of years. And I thought that was quite extraordinary. And as a direct result of watching your Capricorn predictions, you talked about how there's going to be great changes, and you might get a little bit frustrated and what have you, but in the end it will be better for you, and you're going to prune off the dead wood in your life, and you'll find things that no longer matter, and you'll find ways to improve yourself, and it's a period of great growth and opportunity. And incidentally, this month, I have been informed by the studio to change up the process of the show and make it a lot better by bringing on top guests and also making sure that there is a much higher quality and a smaller quantity of the interviews and material that I'm putting out. And I kind of felt a bit frustrated at this at the point. But at the end of the day, I think long term, it will give me precisely what I need over the next couple of years. And that's almost word for word what you said in your Capricorn predictions for 2012. So you can imagine my astonishment And I'm quite happy to be able to get to talk to you here today.
Oh, I'm so glad that my predictions are working for you. But that is just 5% of the overall prediction, you know, because astrology is so much more than just the sun sign. Because you have your sun in Capricorn, but your ascendant might be saying Gemini, and your moon might be in Virgo, and your Venus might be in Leo, and each one of those points in the horoscope is responsible for a different part of your life. For instance, whenever Venus is activated, the sign of your love, Venus is the planet of love, your love life will be activated in a positive or negative way with certain changes in consciousness. If your moon is activated, this is your emotional state. And, you know, it's much, much bigger. But in your case, the sun always represents the goals of a person, the career. So the prediction of the Capricorn, which means that you have the sun in Capricorn when you are born. Everyone nowadays knows their sun sign only because it was popularized like 50, 60 years ago by magazines. And this is what became popular. But before, a few hundred years ago, or even in ancient Greece, when people were asked, what is your sign? They would say their ascendant sign because it's the most personal sign. And we nowadays, we know just the sun sign because it means like everyone born, say, in December or part of January will be Capricorn, or everyone born part of February and January will be Aquarius, you know. But it means that everyone born within 30 days of you has the same sign. But the ascendant sign, which everyone has, changes every 2 hours, sometimes less than 2 hours. So it's the most personal sign which you can make most proper predictions with. But that's quite complex. I don't want to, you know, especially your clients are not so much astrology. Sorry, not clients, your listeners are not so, you know, astrology knowledgeable. So I'll try and stick to more general topics that we can talk about.
Now, I was going to ask you specifically about me, and you said that there's these three signs that come up to you. So there's the position of the moon, the position of the sun, and the position of the planets, conversely.
The most important, yeah. But you need to know the time of your birth. That's why it's so important. The exact minute even is important. You can a person born within a minute or two from you will have a different fate than you. And if he's born, say, 20 kilometers away from you, will also have a different, will change the horoscope. And that's why no one has the same horoscope as another person. Actually, only once in 26,000 years, the planets take the same position as they were at the moment of your birth. So only someone born from 26,000 years from when you were born will have the same, exact same birth chart as you. So that's why you see why everyone is so unique. And yes, go on to ask me your question astrologically.
So myself personally, born on December 29th, 1984, makes me a Capricorn.
I need my astrologic software. I really cannot make it in my head. Maybe if you had given them to me earlier, I usually look at them. I need to have special software. I enter the date. You said you were born towards when? December?
December 29th.
Okay, all right. So you're having Uranus and Pluto transit. It happens once in a lifetime. Some people never even get such transit. You're having Pluto transiting over your sun, which happens once in 245 years, 250 years, you know. So many people never experience this transit in their life, and it lasts for about 2 years. And it's a total change in your, the sun is your identity, is your ego. And Pluto wants to break that down. Pluto wants to basically abolish the old and rebuild a new person. It's like a phoenix which burns and rises again from the ashes. It's quite a powerful influence, actually. And it can be one of the most memorable, intense periods of your life. Pluto can make you quite obsessive, quite dark. Actually, Pluto is the planet of the spy. Pluto is the planet of the conspiracy researcher. Pluto is the planet of the one who always looks under the surface, never takes anything at face value. So you become even more intense than normal. You know, I'm not quite sure how your whole chart looks because I don't know your full details. But just by this transit, within... it's probably already started in your life, and for another year or two, you're going to feel this great intensity and total transformation of your goals, first of all, of your career as well, because the sun symbolizes the career. a new direction in life. So it's very what you're seeing now, the changes that you're talking about, is just the beginning. Get ready for another year of a lot of changes to do with your career. You know, you might be even branching out into a completely different business or in completely different interests in your life or sphere, of vocational sphere. And the sun is your true identity. And when Pluto and Uranus both gang up on it, it's basically they want to break the old limitations of your understanding of who you are and to leave the old mold and the old patterns of your life, and you basically to come out a totally new person. So often person...
Yeah, well, we'll talk about more of this after the break. I'm gonna use you. I'm sorry if you don't mind, Lana, to find out a little bit of something about myself during the course of this interview. and I'd also like, perhaps in the second hour, to take some callers. And if they've got any questions to ask you, that'd be cool as well. The number will be 218-339-8525. We'll be right back at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times they are a-changing.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll quite likely go friggin' nuts. My very special guest today from AstroLada.com. No, it's not a Russian space car program. It's a... Whereabouts are you actually from? Where'd you get that accent, love?
I'm Bulgarian. I was, it's ancient trace lands, the lands of Orpheus. So it's quite mystical. And almost every second person in Bulgaria is interested in something spiritual or occult or esoteric. And they've seen ghosts or, you know, we're very much steeped in this tradition of, mystical and esoteric. And almost every third person... in the developed world has cancer. In Bulgaria, every third person has a kind of some psychic abilities. So it's an interesting place coming from. That's why the interest came in me from very young, basically. And I was sharing it with many of my friends and my family. And my grandmother used to speak with angels. You know, some people think that she maybe was mad, but for me, she was a saint. So here we come from a generation and from a family of quite spiritually inclined and mystical people. And it was just a natural progression from there. And my father was actually a politician. He was one of the first people to start when communism fell down. He was one of the first organizers of the new Democratic Party. And he tried for 10 years to make a change, but unless you agree to what the big banks from the Western world tell you, the big politicians, they'll come, the advisors, and if you don't do what you are said, you are either removed from politics or you get threats. Or it was scary. You know, he had to withdraw because he decided that it's more important that he keeps his moral values and that he keeps truthfulness in his life than agree to what was imposed as rules from above, from the IMF, and, I'm not quite sure how all these organizations are called, but it was scary at home. I used to remember people calling, threatening us. They were having smearing campaigns against his name because he was trying to basically to show all the lying behind what was happening behind the scenes, and it was quite scary, you know? So I went through all this conspiracy theory from very young. From the age of 9, my father started telling me, from the age of 10, he started telling me there is some bigger power of a few powerful people that are controlling the world. And we saw it firsthand. I just grew up with that. I knew it was there. I started reading David Icke later on. It was exactly word for word what he's saying and what other conspiracy theories are saying. We saw it because my father was in politics. You know, he was quite high and he had to stop working. He had to leave. He had to withdraw because it was threatening for his life eventually. But yeah, from there, I had quite political aspirations till my 15, 16. I was still interested in politics and worldly affairs. And then I was so disappointed because I could just see that it's out of the power of, you know, it's basically this big, dark organization who is controlling everything. So my interest went into the spiritual because I realized that to change the world, the person has to start with themselves. My father tried and changed the world on a major scale. It doesn't work like that. Well, if you're allowed to, radios like yours are amazing, you know, but they're often being squashed, especially in less democratic countries. I realized that I want to help humanity by working on the inside, by helping people gain awareness within, by helping people connect to divine, to their divine awareness, to their higher power. And through this, this is how the change for me will happen for people. And they're already awakening. And in regards to that, I'd like to talk a little bit about the big ages of astrology. I don't know, do you think you'll be interested to hear that?
Yeah, I could talk for ages about it.
Yeah, so that's one of my favorite topics, basically. Since thousands of years, we have left from the ancient Vedas and from Egyptian texts and from Asian astrology. These are texts that are more than 6,000-7,000 years old. We have stories and we have scrolls or, I don't know, tablets with describing the big astrological ages. Well, nowadays history says, and the books say that we developed from the monkeys and that we started to progress little by little, but this is not what the ancient books say. They say that humanity evolves in cycles of about 26,000 years. 26,000 years is the one great Platonic year. Plato was talking about that, the great philosopher. And this is the time that it takes for the Earth to make one... there is a wobble on the Earth. Basically, it every 70 years, the wobble of the Earth takes 1 degree. And 70 years multiplied by 360 degrees, which is a full circle, equals 26,000 years. So this is the circle that this is the period which takes all the stars to make a full circle around the Earth. This is when basically it's the Great Pyramid shows the beginning of one such age with the Giza Pyramid. The Sphinx is half woman and half Leo. And basically the beginning of each of those ages starts from the age of Leo, when the sun is rising on the eastern horizon at the backdrop of the constellation of Leo, and on the western horizon is the constellation of Aquarius, which is represented by a human. And that's why the Sphinx has half human body, half Leo body, half Leo body and human face, because it indicates this period in humanity, in the history of human human history, when the constellation of Leo was rising on the eastern horizon on the spring equinox. And of course, the Sphinx is looking exactly directly towards the east, to the horizon. This was the beginning of new such big age, which takes 26,000 years. And it was a golden age. It happened basically approximately 13,000 years. So 11,000, 12,000 years before Christ was when the Sphinx was built. Scientists tell us it was built 3,000, 4,000 years ago. It's not true. The Sphinx is an astrologically situated artifact which was left for us to mark the beginning of a big age, big human age, historical age, and it was so built that nothing could destroy it, you know. So it's left as a message for humanity. This was about, as I said, 10, 11,000 years before Christ. And this is when Plato and also ancient histories talk about the big deluge that happened. They talk about some big cataclysm that happened. And the ancient Vedas, Vedic books, they say that during this period, humanity was in a golden age. It means that the consciousness of human beings were extremely high. They were using, if the golden age, they call it Satya Yuga, the age of truth. the consciousness, say, was almost to 100%, which means that humans were able to be multidimensional beings. They could see, they could perceive higher dimensions, they could perceive the beings which are, it might sound quite extreme for some of your listeners right now, you know, but this is what the ancient books say, and this is what all the mythological stories say. They all point to the same things. I don't know how they would all agree to have similar mythological, the same mythological story, unless it was true. And human beings then were equal almost to gods. Well, they were quite pure. They had direct communication with divine consciousness. They didn't need religions, they didn't need rules, they didn't need regulations, because they were divinely inspired, connected. When you are, when your will, when God's will is your will, when you have daily and minutely communication with the higher world, you're in a constant bliss. This was the proverbial paradise that the Bible talks about. That Adam and Eve, their consciousness was so high. I'm not saying they were as intelligent as we are, but they were just living in pure harmony with the divine laws of the universe, of the earth. And basically, they didn't have to work even. The consciousness was so powerful then that, according to the ancient stories, they could provide for themselves just with the thoughts, you know, just with, they could materialize substances, however intense or incredible it might sound. This is what the story says. And then something happened around 12,000 years ago. They say it's the sinking of Atlantis. The scientists say that around 11,000 years ago is when the polar caps started melting, and there were huge deluges. So all the history, natural history and esoteric history coincide about that. There was big deluges. And from then on, humanity started losing consciousness. And the Sphinx was made as a marking of this period when humanity started losing consciousness. And this, basically, the golden age lasted for about almost 10,000 years. It's a very long period. And I'm not saying that humans were extremely, that they were flying with flying saucers, or that they were flying to other planets. They're technically very advanced. No, it's about their consciousness. Their consciousness was extremely developed back then. As I said, they had this this direct communication with higher source, and they didn't need anything else, you know, this blissful state. And when consciousness started falling down, it means that the feeling of separation, the feeling of fear starts appearing. This consciousness, we came out of the golden age, which started from 17,000, 18,000 before Christ to about 70,000 before Christ. To about 7,000 before Christ. So for about 10,000 years, from 17 to 7,000 before Christ, we went into the Treta Yuga, from the Satya Yuga, the age of truth and divine wisdom and blissfulness. We entered, human consciousness entered into the mental age. It's called the Silver Age of Humanity, which lasted from about 7,000 before Christ to about 3,000 before Christ, for approximately 4,000 years. And that was the ages of the great Egyptian empires, you know, the pyramids. And that was basically an age when consciousness decreased to about 75%. Humans were still, they lost the sense of awe that they had before. And when you lose the sense of awe, what comes is religion. Religion started springing up around that time. Because they had to be put into more, because humans were not directly in communication with the higher worlds anymore, they started losing their psychic ability. Telepathically communicate. You know, they started decreasing slowly about the 7,000 years before Christ, and they started. But still, if you go back to history, people were so religious. Everything was about spirituality, about religion, about life after death. And why do you think it was not a mass delusion? No, people had a real awareness of the other worlds. Why else would they believe all in that? Cultures which are dispersed in thousands of kilometers from each other. How else would they believe in the same things, life after death and, you know, divine beings? And they had a direct communication, direct awareness of those.
And does this mean that there is actually a intellectual or a scholarly discipline to this, and it's not just theories?
Well, this is what the ancient mythology says, and this is what great psychics like Rudolf Steiner, clairvoyants, great philosophers like Plato as well, they all talk about those ages, and they say they have great clairvoyant abilities, and they can return back and forward as much as they want, and they set absolutely the same stories. You know, of course, we cannot prove it scientifically right now, but we can be open to what's said in the past, you know, and you know, you can never prove something until it starts happening, basically. And from about, as I said, the Silver Age, which was the mental age, humans had 75% ability to use their mind. So they were, I'm not saying they was as intelligent as now still, but they had very powerful consciousness and awareness. And they had still strongly
telekinesis.
Yes. And then came from about, and basically the pyramids, one of the, what it was proved that the pyramids were built so they could, because humans, they knew that consciousness is falling down. The leaders of humanity knew that humans will lose this bliss, this their good qualities, their connection to higher power, and they'll go further and further into darkness when humans will be separated, where there will be wars, when humans will be killing each other. This is the darkest ages, which came later. They knew this, so the pyramids and other such big pyramidical structures and occult structures, like they're usually megalithic structures, were built to maintain as long as possible the consciousness, because they're like they exude energy, though, the pyramids. They're like electromagnetic stations almost, you know. They're not...
The Chinese said that the pyramids are very similar to acupuncture, and they balance the earth's chi.
Exactly. They were placed in places of the earth where electromagnetic energies cross, where just like we have electric centers running through our body, like nerve system, and they were placed at exactly such centers.
They placed them along ley lines and things like that, as far as exactly. I know, because of sacred geometry and a whole bunch of other things. But we'll get into that a little bit after the break. AstroLada.com is the website, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. You can listen to the live streams at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. See you in a second. Welcome back. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, American Freedom Radio. Click on the live stream button there. Welcome back. My very special guest, Lada Doncheva from AstroLada.com, excuse me. Now, we were talking before the break about the pyramids and the Sphinx, and what a lot of people don't know about the Sphinx, and I'm not sure if you do, Lada, but... Did you know it's only one piece of stone? That entire thing?
Really?
I didn't know that. It's gargantuan. It was carved out of a single piece of stone that wasn't even from there. And it's like hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of tons. And we couldn't move a stone that big today. It's not possible. No.
Exactly. Absolutely. Architects, they look at the pyramids, they say it's impossible for us to do right now. And they said they did it in 20 years, which is even less impossible. So there are a lot of things we don't know. And we were to the ages of the mental age, but we stand to the Treta Yuga. And then humanity went even deeper down into loss of consciousness, which went to 50% from the age of about 3000 BC to around 500 BC. And this was called the Energy Age, the Bronze Age, according to the ancient astrology, Vedic astrology. And the Energy Age, it means that those people, they knew how to use electricity. They knew how to use other alternative methods of energy. And these people...
Apparent, apparently the pyramids themselves were like power plants kind of thing.
Because there is no soot inside, there is absolutely no vestiges of anything using like candles or, you know, torches. It was
there were even carvings on the wall of things that look exactly like electric light bulbs.
Yeah, and that was true. These people had knowledge of that. It wasn't to the same extent as we do, because as I would tell later, the evolution is like a spiral, which goes, the cycles, they go one above the other. So every new cycle, it's a bit higher than the next one. But from about 1,000 years before Christ, we lost even that knowledge, the knowledge of energy. So humans went into the Kali Yuga, the dark age, which lasted till recently. It lasted till the beginning of last century, till the 20th century. For about 2,000 years, 2,500 years, we went the Dark Ages, and the ancient people were getting ready for that. The ancient books, they say, we're going, this was written like 4,000 or 5,000 years before we started going to the Dark Ages, and the people were writing then, we're going to the Dark Ages, we have to, all the books will be burnt, all the knowledge will be lost, the knowledge of the divine, the knowledge of technology, the knowledge of it was written, so they knew all of this would disappear. So they were preparing humanity, they were making
mystery. And later on, the Romans burned down the Library of Alexandria.
Exactly. And there was a lot of knowledge then. They knew it was going to happen. They knew. So there was also, it said that there is a big library under the Sphinx, which keeps a lot of ancient knowledge, which will be given to humanity once we're ready. For now, obviously, we're not allowed yet. It's protected energetically. But in the Dark Age was when humanity was at its most basis. You know what's happening, you know, slavery, killing each other, living only for the physical. The Dark Age, the Kali Yuga, is the age of the physical, the material, the most materialistic age of all. We are fully incarnated. We lose total consciousness about higher worlds, about spirituality, about moralness. And the only thing that can control us during the Kali Age is laws. Laws and, you know, the countries and the governments having control over the humans with threats, you know, of incarceration or with death. You know, this was the only way to control humanity. But thankfully, we went out of the Dark Ages with the Second World War, I could say, with a big atrocity that happened with the discovery of the atomic energy, and the Age of Energy started. It's never one day you're in one age and the next you go into the ascending age. No, it's always intermixing. It takes a few years. Actually, the new age of energy age started again from probably with the discovery of electricity, with the discovery of steam power, slowly into the discovery of atomic energy. But the darkest point of humanity was at zero years at the new century, when the so-called being of Christ was incarnated, and this is what was expected, and the mentioned mystery schools were saying an exalted being should come into the world, should come incarnate, you know, so it can uplift, it can give a new way of living, which will be developed for the next 13,000 years till humans reach again a golden consciousness. And of course, Christ was talking about love, about the giving rather than receiving, about turning the other cheek, about peace. And these are all ideas which we're still quite, we're not ready still for. We'll be trying to implement those ideas for the next thousands of years. You know, it was just at the point of the lowest point of humanity that this ray of light and this spiritual idea and religion, or they made it into a religion. It was a school. It was a spiritual school of showing us how a person should live. They distorted it. They twisted it after that. And we still haven't applied those ideas anyway. But we are already starting into the next ascending cycle. So the lowest of the law of the astrological cycles was in the year zero. And we started rising from then on in consciousness. But we came out of the Dark Age of the last century. And we have 2,000 years in front of us of, again, the energy age, which means, again, all the energy sources are being discovered, electricity, atomic power. Find the energy sources will be discovered, like solar or prana energy, which we don't even suspect of. And because it's a cycle ascending, it will be energies which are much more developed than the ones that the ancient Egyptians had and the ancient, from 3000 BC to, you know, to, during this previous same cycle, which is the same energy cycle that the Dvapara Yuga, but it was a descending Dvapara age. And we're now in an ascending energy age, Dvapara age, as it's called. And from 4000 after Christ, we're going to start the mental age again. It's again a repetition of the ages that I went through previously, but they're ascending this time in consciousness. And humans, what will be happening, that more and more humans, and we started the age of Aquarius, it means that on the spring equinox, when it's spring, the sun is rising exactly at the backdrop of the constellation of Aquarius. Till now it was rising at the backdrop of the constellation of Pisces. It started with the coming of Christ. That's why Christian religion has the sign of Pisces, of the fish. You know, all Christians have the fish sign on them, because this is Christ came at the beginning of the age of Pisces. And now starts the age of Aquarius, the age of the man. When age Aquarius is symbolized by two lines like electricity. Aquarius rules electricity and technology. So during these ages will be increasingly more and more developing technology. But it's this technology will be more and more spiritualized. It will be no longer for destruction only. To a certain period, it will keep developing for destruction, but then it will start developing for the upliftment of human consciousness. For this energy will be used freely and given freely to humanity. But we have to go first through a certain barrier, which is supposed to happen through some cataclysmical events. I don't want to sound doom and gloom, but it is expected. It happens at the beginning of each new age, astrological age, and it's recorded throughout history, and it always coincides with the ages given by ancient astrologers at the end of one age and the beginning of new age. There are some big shifting of the earth and some big cataclysms that happen, and they are like they help shift the consciousness of humanity. And the age of Aquarius is the sign of brotherhood, of equality, of a perfect society, and this is what we'll be trying to achieve for the next 2000 years ahead, and this is what we will achieve. So even though there's so much conspiracy and doom and gloom right now, you know, a lot of the Kali Yuga energy is still around because we haven't fully moved into the new energy. And of course, it's very material people that control us, the dark people that they are selfish, they're using all resources of the earth for selfish purposes. But this will not be so. However much they're trying to resist this through all kind of systems, through all kind of numbing systems, numbing food, numbing television, numbing, you know, in whatever way they're trying to do it, humans are awakening. The vibration of the earth is raising, and there is no stopping it. It's a natural cycle. They can try as much as they want. They know. These people, they're steeped in occultism, the ones that rule us. They know this, and they're just trying to hang on with their last powers, you know, onto the old energy. And maybe for a bit longer they'll be able to, but it would become like a desperate at the end, you know. And the thing is, because they're getting so desperate, they'll do something monstrous at the end, you know. When you know you're going down, you decide to take everyone out with you. So there is a great chance that they can, you know, be so desperate to do something like that. But their higher hierarchy looking after us, this will not be allowed, you know. Humanity will not die out. What will happen is the balance between darkness and lightness will be finally, you know, will be equalized, and there will be harmony. But, you know, it is fantastic. We're living at this age where everyone is watching our planet, all the exalted.
Well, I was just thinking about this the other day as well. There's so many predictions, and there's so many possibilities. And there's so much brainwashing as well, and it makes it really difficult for people to find out exactly what the truth on any given subject is, let alone the future. And I found that if you're living in the moment and you're doing everything that you can right now, the future will be brighter for you. If you're living in the past, on the other hand, and you're not going forward, no part of your future will be brighter. It's just as simple as that, for me anyway. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Caller lines are now open, so we'll be taking some questions with my very special guest from Astrolada.com. 218-339-8525, 218-339-8525. Back in a minute. Gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It also is incidentally Fukushima irradiated, and everybody else has a bit part-time job as an incandescent light bulb to help the economy on behalf of our Federal Reserve banker, master, prime sinister, John F and Kate. Now the number to call in is 218-339-8525, 218-339-8525. If you want to call in and ask a question of my very special guest from Astrolada.com, Lada Dunshiva. Now we'll go to our first caller now. Area code 649. I think that you might be calling in from New Zealand. Who's that?
Hey, Vinny, it's James here. How's it going?
I'm going good, man. What's up?
Yeah, not too bad. Oh, I'm just on my lunch break at work. Hey, I am calling from New Zealand, actually.
I figured as much. Have you got a question for our guest, James?
Yeah, I just wanted to know, I'm not sure, Lada, if you're familiar with Barbara Hanclough's book, The Mayan Code. She talks about an increase in cosmic frequencies as we approach the galactic ecliptic. I just wanted to know, what do you know much about that, and what's your take on that?
Hi. This is what's happening in 2012, exactly. This is right now on the winter, it's not called it's the winter solstice. During the winter solstice, the sun will rise exactly at the backdrop of the center of the galactic of the solar of the not the solar system, the galactic center of the Milky Way. And basically all the stars of the Milky of our Milky Way galaxy are rotating around the central big sun, or they call it a big black hole. And this is where, according to esoteric knowledge, this is where the highest vibration is coming from. This is where the Godhead is, or whatever the highest, most evolved energies and stimulating energies for the whole of the Milky Way, the whole of our galaxy are coming from the center of the galactic center. And our planet is equalizing, is aligning with this galactic center. It happens once in this aligning in the winter solstice happens once in 26,000 years, And sometimes the 7,000 years from now, the summer solstice will align with it, and the spring equinox 7,000 years from there. But the winter solstice equalizes with the galactic center once in 26,000 years. And what happens is like gates are opening up during this period. Gates of influences, like a lot of high vibrations are flooding into the world. But this has been happening for the past 100 years already, because this alignment takes about 100 years to become exact. It's exact this year, 2012. But it was practically there for the past 10, 15 years, because the movement happens so slowly. It happens 1 degree per 70 years. Imagine this. We've been 1 degree close to already the galactic center, the Earth equalizing with the galactic center for the past 70 years. And now in 2012 is exact. And it will continue the influence for another 70 years ahead till it moves away a degree from the galactic center. And a degree so little, from 160 degrees, a degree is like so infinitesimal. So this is the period when cosmic doors are opening up, basically, so to speak, because only at the solstice points, the solstice spring, the equinoxes or the solstices, is when the Earth can receive strong influences. During only those periods, it's like these are mystical periods. Everyone knows about them, every astrologer or every person who is interested in the occult or ancient arts and sacred ancient arts, they know that those 4 points, periods of the Earth, when the Earth aligns then with something important, which the most important thing in our solar system, in our galaxy, is the galactic center, will be getting a great boost of energy, which will raise consciousness. People say that humans will awaken all of a sudden. I do not believe that. I believe it's a gradual process for some people. I don't think all of the people all of a sudden start having multidimensional ability to see through dimensions, to telecommunicate or whatever. I think that a burst of energy will be sent to the Earth. And it's already been happening for the last 100 years. We've evolved so much in 100 years than never before. The science, the knowledge, the self-knowledge, the desire for self-transcendence, the desire of self-improvement, self-help books are flourishing. It's never been like before in the written history of humanity. No. And this awakening with the internet boom, it's already happening. It's also a manifestation of this opening of the gates of the galactic center. And 2012 is the exact moment, so there is like a heightening increase of the vibrations. And those people who are ready, and they will not be more than 5% probably, those people who are ready, they might have interesting awakening. But a lot of people are noticing already such interesting things in their life. They're noticing awakening of consciousness. They're noticing strange dreams, abilities to see more colors, auras, eccentric, clairaudience, visual clairvoyance as well. You know, these qualities, more and more children are being born with those qualities. And it is slowly the whole humanity is awakening. And when there is a critical mass of human beings, about 10% who awaken. And by awaken, I mean, first they start getting interested in, first those human beings, they start realizing the whole hoax that is happening. This exactly what American Freedom Radio is doing with the conspiracy, with basically showing the truth to others. This is the signs of awakening for people. Everyone who is listening to this radio, they're already signs that they're catching up the high vibrations coming from the galactic center, and that they're reacting to them. That and a lot of people are close to that. Their vibration is much lower, and those high vibrations will create in them great discomfort because they're resisting the opening of the consciousness. What happens is that a lot of psychic disturbances happen, a lot of mad people. We never had as many mad people and mentally, psychologically off-balanced people as we're seeing now. Unhappiness, depression, you know.
Can I just interrupt you there? Because it seems to me like everything's getting better and worse at the same time. At the same time that you have people waking up exponentially, you have people going back to sleep exponentially. What do you think, James?
What is happening, and it's both extremes. This is what happens when the vibration is raised. Those who are resisting it, they start breaking down. you know, and those who are flowing with it, who are opening with it, they feel inspired, uplifted. They start having those sixth sense abilities and ability to intuition increase. While the others, they start feeling that they might start going with mental illnesses, or the resistance, the cancer has increased so much is due to a lot of the pollutants around us, but it's also very much due to the great resistance humans have to this rising vibrations, and the cells start breaking down and turning on each other.
Yeah, totally. I would have to agree with that. Because, you know, even I fall back asleep sometimes, like not totally, but, you know, just when you're working so much, you've got a little slave job going on and you're trying to keep your head above water, and you just get bogged down with just everyday life. And in general, sometimes you just forget about, you know, this movement and all the wonderful things that are going on around you, and you just kind of fall into a bit of negativity every now and then.
I've noticed that there's a bit of back and forth, bro. Like, I was just talking to my missus the other day about this, and I said, and she goes to work, she's got the slave job, and I'm back here, and I'm doing all this, and she's supporting me, and she doesn't listen to the show very often or anything. So I was wondering, you know, baby, where's your passion getting into this? You know, are you really a truther? And so I asked her about this, that, and the other conspiracy, and she knew all about them. And so I was just wondering, you know, baby, why don't you come home and listen to shows or do anything like that? And she says, I'm just too tired after going to work. And it's depressing, you know. That's basically it. You go to work, and as a direct result, you come home and you can't really spend time expanding your mind to a large degree.
Yeah. And how much more colorful is our life? Everyone is laughing to me, oh, you conspiracy crazy, you know. But I find my life is so exciting. It's always something new to learn, something. Looking forward to the future as well, knowing that we're going somewhere and we're going to evolve and we're going to reach such heights we've never dreamed of.
Yeah, that said, she was watching, she likes to watch TV shows and stuff like that. When I'm watching TV, I'm always noticing the Masonic floors and the numbers and all of that kind of stuff that you'd see as a conspiracy theorist. And she's watching this older series called Jericho, where there were 13 bombs that went off in the United States, and the one place that wasn't hit was New York, and they bombed the United States during the month of September. And then they form this new corporate government, which forms a national security state to control the remaining parts of the United States. And she's telling me all these little things, and I go, I love it when my baby watches Illuminati symbolism.
there is something interesting as well. We shouldn't worry about other people, because there is the 11th monkey syndrome or the 100th monkey syndrome. I don't know if you know it, but basically they taught 10 monkeys how to, or 100 monkeys how to wash potatoes, because they have dirt on them and they were much more tasty when they washed them. And those monkeys were separated from other monkeys because they were monkeys on little islands dispersed, so they couldn't communicate in any other way. But somehow their consciousness is connected, because when the 100th monkey learned how to wash this potato, what happened is that all the monkeys on the islands around, they started doing it as if by inspiration somehow, as if the consciousness is connected in the big subconscious level and the knowledge reaches to them. So they all started doing it. So what happened is that when a critical mass of people, which is 10%, raises to a certain vibration and awakens up and starts being interested in those topics we're discussing here, and start self-searching and trying to improve themselves and all of these things, trying to live morally, truthfully, and looking for the truth, what will happen is that it will drag the others, whether they want it or not. So we shouldn't worry. My boyfriend is very materialistic. He cares about cars only, and about, he's very much globalist, working in big corporations. And he says, yes, I'm for globalism and total world domination, because, you know, I want to be one of the rulers there. And I tried to convert him. I decided it's no point, you know. This is his path in life. He has to follow it. It has to take him where it is. And I'm just going to give him I'm going to live my life as it is. And sooner or later, the consciousness of people like you and me and other people who listen to this radio station will drag the others. Like Freud, not Freud.
Okay, and we'll drag them.
Yeah.
We'll drag them in, kicking and screaming if necessary. Okay, James, thank you for your call, bro. I'm so sorry that it's only your lunch break and you've got to go back to work to your slave job after this. All right, so thank you very much. And we'll go to our next caller now, Mojo in Illinois. Mojo, you're on the air. Mojo?
Hello.
Are you there? We can hear
you. How's it going? I'm here,
man. Now that you're here,
pretty good.
So what's up?
Yeah, this is an interesting. This is an interesting host you have on today, or guest. It's, you know, she brings up some interesting points about your awareness as we go through this process. But what's amazing about it, though, is, you know, from my viewpoint and what I've been seeing, is that you're not really aware. You know. Other than the fact that you just know things, right? Whereas, you know, like if you see, in my particular case, when I see particular weather patterns or storm fronts that come through or just subtle changes in the environment, you just have a sense of knowing that there's something spiritual going on that is unseen, but you know, you have an idea of what it is. And if you try and explain it to people, they'll think you're crazy, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, as part of this awareness, you know, me myself personally, I have seen things in the sky, and I don't know if it's just me or what, but I've seen objects in the sky, and I've witnessed them fly off and all this, you know, and everything. And when I go on, talk to the people that were literally in their houses or in their driveways, and this object that was hovering above them for several minutes, at least 10 minutes, mm-hmm. they had no idea that it was there. They weren't even aware that this object was there.
It's true. Actually, when people close their consciousness, it's amazing. I recently watched a program. Probably a lot of people have seen it, that when Columbus arrived for the first time with his ships, to America, the local tribesmen, the ships were anchored far into from the beach, probably I don't know, half a kilometer away or a kilometer away, and they stayed anchored there for quite a few days. And the local tribesmen, they couldn't notice them because they've never seen ships before, and because the cabin shifted, they blocked it. Their sensors blocked what was there. They didn't see it, and only the shaman noticed them. The ships of Columbus, because he noticed ripples coming from the water towards the beach, and he started meditating and watching those ripples every day, and he eventually managed to notice those ships. And when he pointed them to others, they noticed them as well. But before that, they were blanking. And this is what happens to many people: something which is unfamiliar for us, we don't acknowledge it even with our consciousness. It's but when
Sometimes you do need somebody to point stuff out to you if you're not quite up with the play as yet, you know. And this is like humans have to work together in every possible way, you know. Mojo, thank you for your call. 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. We'll be back in just a minute. Yeah. Yeah. And no one like me. Yeah. 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 Congratulations. You made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
Yeah.
But I'm here now. So what you wanna do?
Huh?
How many dudes you really know can flow like this?
Like this,
let's do it.
How many dudes you know vote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this?
Not many, if any, not many, if any.
How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody.
Check to the mic. Welcome back. 1-2 from a crew coming through with your hype. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My very special guest, Lada Doncheva from astrolada.com. In the top 850,000 websites in the world, you have a look at some of her predictions that are only a month old, and there's like 16,000 hits on the videos, and it's not an isolated incident. So there's a lot of people who listen around the world to this lady, and I would probably say it has something to do with the fact that she dresses up very nice and does her makeup before she does her videos, as well as as all the rest of these other things. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm a woman.
Hey, it can't hurt. It can't hurt. The other element we wanted to talk about was when people are talking about their astro signs and things like that, there's an inherently practical group of people who almost like they're chopping through the bush, you know, with a machete and they carve their own path. And there's other people saying, no, look, there's a path already carved over there. And exhaust themselves going through life. Without finding an easy path to walk down, you know? But let's think about this. In terms of practical knowledge of the world, I mean, astrology is not your only game, is it?
It's not my only game.
Like, you don't just play basketball, or you don't just play softball, or play go in the Olympics and just do the sprinting and stuff like that. I meant game in the career sense of the word, rather than game as in a casino sense of the word. Maybe.
Well,
you're talking about practical health advice over the break earlier.
Well,
for example,
I give it with astrology, basically. You can use astrology for all the areas of your life. And, for instance, you can keep your beauty. I can give beauty advice with astrology. And the beauty of the woman very much depends on the phases of the moon. And I remember my grandmother even used to tell me, never cut your hair on a waning moon, when basically from full moon to a new moon, when the moon is growing smaller, when it's becoming smaller and decreasing, you shouldn't cut your hair, because when you cut it then, your hair starts growing out thinner and starts breaking down. But if you cut your hair from the moment of the new moon till the full moon, so for those 2 weeks when the moon is growing, then, and I've done this experiment because I have very fine and thin hair, and I did it for about 12 months. Every month when the moon was growing, I would cut a little bit from my hair, maybe, you know, less than a centimeter from the ends of the hair. And it starts growing with great speed, and it starts growing much thicker, because the moon is growing, and you cut it when the moon is growing, you give some signal in your body, and those cells are intelligent, they follow us above, so below, and your hair starts growing much thicker, they doesn't break, the ends don't split, and you can make from even very fine hair, you can get a hair which is beautiful and which is thicker. So never cut your hair on waning moon, always on a waxing moon, on a growing moon.
That's why a hairdresser's the name for a hairdresser is actually a cosmologist or cosmetologist, isn't it?
Oh, I never thought of that.
Yeah, well, that's why.
Well, yeah, and for weight, we can follow with the moon as well, your weight. Basically, the phases of the moon, when the moon is growing, from the new moon till the full moon for 14 days, the moon is increasing, so you can put much more easily on weight. So starting diets during this period, you'll not get the same results, you know, because your body wants to put on mass, just like the moon is growing. The moon in the horoscope rules the body, and especially with women, they'll feel it that when it's around full moon, when the moon has been growing for 14 days, around the full moon, they'll start feeling heavier and they keep more liquids. Doctors know making surgeries during full moon is dangerous, because the body has a lot of liquids and it bleeds much more than other times. And also because the body keeps those liquids, the women and also men, they feel bloated more around full moon. And they've put more on weight. The cells have kept more water, more liquids and more fat in them. But it's a great time from new moon to full moon if you want to make muscles. So for people who are working out, for men who want to put on weight, or women or who want to make beautiful muscles, is the best time to start working out regimes, muscular working out regime, because they're going to put on weight. But when the moon starts decreasing from the full moon till the moon, till the new moon, which is around 14 days period, it's great to start diets then, fasting diets if you want to lose weight, because when the moon is decreasing, your body is throwing out toxins and liquids and anything unnecessary of the body.
It's similar, the moon's influence on people is similar to the way the moon influences the tides with its pull of gravity of the liquids to one side of the earth or the other. Our body's mostly liquid, so when the moon's full or when it's coming about or depending on its position, it'll have corresponding effects on the body. And also you talk about the mental effects of the moon, and if you talk to anybody who's a cop or anybody who's part of emergency services, full moon nights, they're the most terrifying nights of the month.
The mind, because the liquid goes into your head or whatever, and you go, people go more mental. Moon is quite, the madhouses, people start screaming. My father used to go fishing next to a madhouse, and we would stay and sleep over there, and you could hear during full moons, there would be like, they'll be woo, you know, like shouting, screaming. It was madness. And the doctors were saying it only happens on full moon. And lunatics, why they call them lunatics? Lunatics comes from the luna. Luna means moon, is the name of the moon. And during the full moon, you shouldn't drink when the moon is very full, because you keep all the poisons you can get, most poisoning. That's why the hospitals are full of drunk people on full moon, because you keep all the poisons in you. The body hangs on to all the liquids and to and cannot keeps up all the toxins, all the liquids, and cannot get rid of them so quickly. So if you want to get drunk around new moon, not around full moon, because you can get toxified a lot. If you're taking any pills or stronger medication, you have to make it a bit less during full moon, because you can toxify yourself much more easily. And that's why it's the greatest time to keep a diet is on a new moon for 3 days, when the moon is dark, when you don't see it in the sky. You can check everywhere on the internet when is the new moon, and you say it's on the 25th of October, and the 24th, 25th, 26th, give yourself 3 days. So if you cannot 3 days, give yourself just 1 day at least around the full moon exactly, and then liquids only. Because when it's the new moon, the body wants to flush out all the toxins. It flushes out all the poisonous things in your body, and you help with it, all those liquids. And when you lose, you can lose up to a kilo for 1 day during this period, during the new moon. And when you lose it, you don't put it on easily. It's fantastic. Just you can, with the moon, you can regulate your body. So don't overeat during new moon. Stay to the minimum food. Mostly try and do liquids new moon. And on the full moon as well, it's recommended. Don't drink toxins or alcohol. Try and stay on liquids as well. These are two very specific moments and very sensitive moments for the body. And you can very easily regulate your body. And as I said, my boyfriend is gym freak and works out twice a day. So he follows this diet, even though he doesn't believe much in astrology or anything, he follows it. And he lost 7 kilos in 2-3 months doing this. So it is quite, you know, quite powerful. Folk people, they know this, you know. My grandmother used to tell me about the nails. Never cut your nails on a waning moon. Always on waxing moon. If you want your nails not to chip and split, if you have very weak nails, only cut them when the moon is growing, because they start getting thicker and healthier, you know. So there are great advice that you can do with astrology, you know. Astrology is everything. It rules the life. It rules the physical, the mundane predictions for the future, for the past, for the health. You can use it for everything. With astrology, you can regulate, you can create qualities in yourself. For instance,
Can I ask? That said, do you believe that astrology is actually applied in that way in mainstream astrology? Or no. many of those capacities basically, kind of like the New World Order, with every single conspiracy that I've looked into, they'll put out something that appears positive, but they will censor and keep silent most of the positive aspects on it, and only leave a thin veneer that will distract people.
Exactly. They've profanized it. What's the word? They throw
propagate.
Out a little bit, and they just distort it. And what is out there in astrology is travesty. basically it's sun signs, and it makes people dependent on that, reading it every day. If it says something bad about them, it changes their whole mood. They don't use it for empowerment. They use it for maybe control, or they've because they've put it out in the newspapers, they make it tabloid thing. People have lost faith in astrology. They regard it as some hocus pocus or whatever. Some, just like you said at the beginning, because just pieces and bits are being given, or people in their greed and their desire, you know, for, you know, easy buck, they use it in wrong ways. But it's sad, but people are awakened, as I said. More and more ancient books on astrology are being discovered, and they show us how the ancient were using astrology in their everyday life for practical affairs, for improving themselves. And it's great because these books were lost for a few thousand years while the Dark Ages lasted, the Kali Yuga. And they were hidden, or they were lost, or they were burned. And now, slowly, slowly, we're discovering such. My teacher basically translates ancient tablets and ancient books, which are written 3,000-4,000 years before Christ even. And they this knowledge is emerging. The astrology is awakening the proper way, the ancient way. And with much more added to it from our observations. And there are many people who are interested in astrology on a much deeper level than the newspapers only. And it's fantastic, you know. But what matters the most? Astrology can give you direction, can show you the weaknesses in your character, can show you the strength that you have. But what matters is that you keep those Christian principles that we have, basically, that you try and improve yourself. What is matters the most for a person is whoever back your stars are. Basically, you can be born with a horrible horoscope. You can be born someone that you're going to have a lot of illness. You're going to have a lot of difficulties to overcome. And these things show in the horoscope. Sadly, they show, but you can see it. You can say that, you know, you can see someone that is going to be going through very hard period in their life. And what matters is you can take what you were born with, what you were given as a faith, as a path in life. And if you are keeping the Christian principles of morality, of truthfulness, of self-improvement, of keeping from temptation, of not lying, you know, there are the 10 laws, commandments that we have to keep, and of truthfulness, you know, of helping others, giving service to others, you know, loving your brother, which means be of service to the others, don't be selfish, don't, you know, not, and not even... if you're trying to overcome your weaknesses, if you have temptation for cheating on your partner, temptation for sex, temptation for alcohol, for every person has those weaknesses in them. If you're trying to overcome them, then you turn the stars, the negative influences of the stars, and you can actually you can make out of them a much better and life. So you have control to some extent over your fate, as long as you're keeping divine laws, as long as you're following the Christian principles or other spiritual discipline principles. They're the same, basically, in all religions. And you're trying to improve yourself, then you shouldn't be scared of astrology. It will just empower you. But if
that's right.
Yeah?
We now have a caller calling in. The Greek, welcome. The Greek, are you there? Oh. Stelios. We seem to have a problem with the phones. Okay, if he wants to call back in, he can, I guess. Well, I was thinking about this earlier as well. It's kind of like there's certain principles that people follow. Now, they follow them in one direction only, and they do not become multidisciplinary. They do not incorporate the 3D world into the 4D, into the 2D, and the so on and so forth. So they're not listening or working with concepts that have a holistic extent to them, if you know what I mean. And in essence, they become very myopic. The brain starts to shut down to other possibilities, other fields of research, things like that. And I found essentially that the most important thing for people to recognize is that being able to verify and quantify the information and the lifestyles that you're choosing to living are very, very important, so that you don't, basically lead yourself down a garden path, and you lose your footing, you lose your granite base, you lose your morality, and then you lose your head, because as soon as you've got those things that are supposed to tie you down, to give you responsibilities, to restrict your desires and things like that, then you've got nothing really solid left, and you can be manipulated and swayed any one way or the other by whichever cult master demagogue wishes to.
They're desires, which are healthy, and they're unhealthy desires.
Indeed. Hold on. We're coming to break now. AstroLada.com. We'll come to the Greek when we come back from break in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. From AstroLada.com, Lada Dancheva. And we will be talking now to our caller, the Greek. Are you there, Greek?
Yes, I am. Thanks for taking my call, Vinny.
That's cool, man. What's on your mind today?
Hey, all right. Well, I hear a lot about study and astrology and all that. I just thought I'd come in and put in my 3 cents. I heard the guest speaking a lot about, you know, looking at a lot of ancient texts and also alignments and things like that. And also, she was using a lot of terminology referring to before Christ and after Christ and such and such. And, of course, we know we're using the Christian traditional version of Christ, where there's the zero, or, you know, the current years are counted from his birth. But what intrigued me to call is, you know, as above, so below, and also we have to read everything. That's all we have right now, our texts. And what's interesting, supposedly the Christian religion, let's call it that, is supposedly based on the Bible. But what's interesting, when you do look at the text, and this is for the guests in the audience as well, there's a short chapter in the text which actually gives an astronomical sign of when the Christ was born. And what's interesting about that, regardless of what calendar or time you keep, when an astronomical alignment happens, it's very precise. And there's an astronomical alliance. There's a great sign appeared in the heaven, a woman, which would be the constellation Virgo, with the sun at her chest and the moon at her feet, with 12 stars at her head. It is a very precise astronomical alignment that typically happens in the fall. And if you consult an astronomers, like, for example, at a planetarium where they have access to these computers, they can actually run the constellation Virgo and show you when the sun would be in this particular area, which would be the chest of the woman, Virgo, and the moon at her feet. And it would be late afternoon in the fall, typically around September. And it occurs over decades. It doesn't occur every year. And if you look at the biblical text, he was born between 2 and 6 B.C. based on the census of Caesar and when Herod died, which was 2 years later. So the secular records show 2 or 6 B.C. But when we look at this, this very specific astronomical alignment, which is in Revelation chapter 12, well, and if you use it for communication purposes, the modern calendar, this astronomical alignment where the constellation Virgo has the sun in her chest area, she has the 12 stars as a crown and the moon at her feet, happens on September 11, 3 B.C.
Wow. That's interesting. I didn't know that. That sounds like a research action.
And you can dispute that if you want to go with another calendar, but I'm saying now with the current Gregorian calendar that's being used throughout the world, because, you know, there is no September, October in the Bible, thus they go by the lunar. So, but if you do that alignment, which is very specific in Revelation 12, you will see it's September 11, 3 B.C., exactly, it's actually around 6:40 p.m.
Because yeah, it's a sunset. I've heard that. In the Bible, it's full of astrological symbology, actually. It's
right.
It talks about reincarnation, when John the Baptist, when they ask the others, who is John the Baptist, Christ, or I forgot what it says. He says, this is Elijah who's come back. So he was talking about reincarnation. Astrology is in the first esoteric schools, Christian schools. And they were not religion. They didn't want to create a religion. It was later twisted. But the first esoteric schools, they were using using astrology heavily. And actually, esoteric Christianity still uses astrology heavily. These schools, as mysteries, hidden schools, they preserved for till now. And it's emerging that there are the Bogomils, which later created the Cathars, the Path. They created all those religious. They started the Renaissance. All those Christian different sects of Christianity, they started the Renaissance. But they were the true esoteric Gnostic Christianity, which uses astrology. And apparently, what they say is that when Christ, before Christ came, there was the Star of Bethlehem, which appeared in the sky. And it was the conjunction of the planets Jupiter and Saturn together in the sky. And Jupiter, it happens in the constellation of Pisces, which rules the Jewish, which rules the Israel, the Jewish country, the Jewish lands. And Jupiter is the king. When Jupiter and Saturn are together, a king is born, and it happens in the constellation of Pisces. And this is how the ancient Chaldean astrologers, the three magis that the, is set in the Bible, they saw this. This omen in the sky, and they knew that someone of great importance will be born on Earth, as above, so below. Correct. And it's very interesting to research what you're talking about, the Virgo, because, you know, they say the birth of Jesus Christ is on the 23rd of December, but it's not. It was based on ancient religions, which were expecting the coming of a exalted being, but it's because the sun on the 21st of December, the sun, which is the symbol of Christ as well, the son of the God, the sun starts climbing again. This is for the northern hemispheres, because the chakras of the earth are so situated that the northern is like the head, the southern is the lower part, you know. And yes. The sun starts climbing again, starts being reborn after 3 days of staying still. Is the shortest day. It starts being reborn, and exactly at 12 o'clock on the 24th of December, when Christ is supposed to be born at 12 o'clock, the constellation of Virgo is above the head. Not the constellation, the sign of Virgo is above the head. So this is the Virgin giving birth to the sun, which starts growing from that moment on. And, you know, the sun is born, and a new wave of hope is given to the world again. And this was reacted in a lot of mystery schools before, actually. It was incorporated into Christianity, so very likely that Christ was born around this time when you were talking, you know.
Yeah, what's interesting, though, if you look at it, a lot of, like, they supposedly base Christianity on the Bible, but there's very few Christians that know anything, really. Like, for example, when you say the three magi, it doesn't say how many there were, and they came from the east. And if you go back to Genesis, for example, you'll see Abraham sent six of his sons back to Bethlehem, and they understood this and these signs, and they came back thousands of years later. But my point here is the religions of the world today, it doesn't matter which one it is, is based basically on the natural concept that was above, so below, the rules of the planets and the sun. But what's interesting, I found out from my own study on the ancient texts, no matter which one you look at, these the information in the text is, are exceptions to these rules. So you cannot take, for example, what's taught in religion. I mean, you can do, and I'm not saying you, but what people have been doing is taking the natural systems and overlapping them over these texts, whether it's the Bhagavad Gita, the Mahabharata, the Bible, or the Quran, and they say this is this. No, these books are actually the exception to the natural order. So it's very important that the people, eventually they will, within the next decade, a little bit more, they're going to go away from the religion and go back to the text and say, the religions are not serving us well, the texts have more information, and we've never looked at them.
Yeah.
So that's why I came up with this information, because you know there's no such thing as September or October, this is all modern. But what I'm saying is there's profound, because when you say September 11th now, it has a different meaning than it did 30 years ago, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So please, anyone, go research Revelation chapter 12. It gives you that alignment. It's actually almost 30 or 40 words on specific alignment. And go do the research on your own, on a computer. Go to most computers don't have the ability to do this kind of alignment. But this information can be gotten. And again, thanks. Thank you. I yield. Thank you for having me, Vinny, and great job to your guest.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for your call, Greg. I was also wanting to explore and divulge a little bit from you later in the final minutes that we've got here. Your personal waking up story, I mean, you talked about your father being involved in politics and learning about the conspiracy from a young age. And in my experience, most people who become activists-ish, you know, whatever it may be, if you're striking out on your own, they've either made it real successful in the so-called real world and then gotten disillusioned by it, screwed over, and the other people are normally, well, they're kind of born into a family where this thing sort of becomes inevitable. It's very clear which part you're at, and I find it interesting that your partner is a globalist.
Well, I think fate likes to play jokes on us, because I've noticed whenever someone is very strong about something, I've been since very young age, I'm very much hippie-like, I'm consciousness, spirituality, you know, and I was so outspoken about it, and it's like whenever you say something very strongly opinionated, it's like life or God or fate or whatever it is, makes you confront exactly what you dislike the most, exactly what you are condemning the most. It puts you face to face with it. So from and it's happened with everything. I used to judge people who had problems. Certain problems. I met those problems, and everything I've judged strongly, it comes to you. So if your viewers or listeners remember anything this night, I want them to remember that. Don't be judgmental. Even within yourself, don't allow those thoughts, because what you judge the most comes to you. What you talk against about the most, it will confront you, it will come in your life, so you can see the other person's perspective. It will come to you through your dearest and nearest. And oh, you will do it yourself, so you can learn to put yourself in the shoes of others and never be so extreme. And also, always tolerance and moderation and everything, you know, and humbleness. So I've, you know, because I was so vociferous about those topics, I confronted those and I confronted this in my life. But this is just one of the smallest things. And I'm so grateful to whatever powers that directed my life in this way, because I learned humbling myself, and I learned that we grow and learn in the most amazing ways, usually in through you know. So that's it. There is a powerful energy in everything that you think about. You tend to attract. When you think about it in a negative way, you will attract it. So be careful what you focus on thoughts, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know there's a lot of people in this movement who choose to look back at all the other people that have screwed them over in their life, and the bad politicians and the scary news and that kind of thing. Whereas I choose to focus on getting people on who are cool and nice and lovely and have some fun information and just to have a good time, really. So I think I've got it down. Thank you very much, Lada, for coming on today.
Thank you.
And you can check out her website at Lada, Astro Lada. See you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.